I've been reading through the book of Psalms, and Psalms 92. And you think about the Psalms, you think about, you know, the singing of them and the praising the Lord. It says in Psalms 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Amen. There's a lot of things in the world that ain't that good, but that's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. David did that all the time. He gave thanks unto the Lord. And that's strength. When you're giving thanks to God, singing to him, that's strength in your life. It'll strengthen you. He says to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Like I said before, I've never heard hardly Jehovah Witnesses singing any songs. Mormons, they might sing some. They have the Mormon Tabernacle, I know. But the Catholic Church, they, you know, not very joyful songs, but we got a song book with over, you know, 500-600 songs in one book, 500-600 in another song book, and there's so many songs written about the Lord. Then the Bible tells you of all the words that were written about Jesus Christ, the world couldn't even contain it. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and I mean for everything, and sing praise on thy name, O Most High. I was reading this, I think it's today or yesterday. He says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Daniel prayed three times a day. You know, he went out there no matter what. He went out there and got on his face towards the east, prayed towards Jerusalem. I mean, we ain't got to pray towards Jerusalem, but we pray towards New Jerusalem. We pray that way towards heaven. He says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. And it's a good thing in the morning to give God thanks. And I try to check myself when I wake up in the morning to see if I got a song and see if there's still a song in my heart. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Thy faithfulness. Get down on your knees before you go to bed at night. Sometimes it's hard to do. And get down on your knees and thank him for his faithfulness during the day. Watching over everybody, taking care of everybody. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon a psaltery, upon a harp, and upon a solemn sound, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad, though thy work, through thy work, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And it's nothing, like I said, these are songs, like Mennonites, they don't believe in, some Mennonites don't believe in having stringed instruments, and the Bible tells you there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with singing praises to God with stringed instruments. You got the guitar and the banjo, and you got the piano. It's got strings to it, really. It's singing praises, the harp. And, you know, a guy said, my wife's an angel. She's always up there harping about something. But on a harp, upon an instrument of 10 strings. And then, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work, and I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And it says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And you know what? I think about Dr. Rubin. You know, he went through this Bible about 150 times and everything. He studied that thing and everything. And he said he just scratched the surface. And the more you study, so a lot of times you think everything that you can get out of this book's already been gotten. No, it hasn't. And it hadn't. The Lord will show individual people different things. There was a guy, when we was in Bible school, he came up and he said this, Dr. Rubin said this, he gave credit to Brother Gilly. Brother Gilly's the guy that said, let me go back here for a minute. I got mud in my eye today, in my left eye. This tree kept getting in my way. I kept hitting this tree. Finally, I took tobacco and I took that thing out. And when I was packing down the mud, it got me back. It splattered mud in my eye. It's like it went, and it got me back. So, Psalms 12. Look at Psalms 12. Doc gave Brother Gilly credit for this. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. He said, what is that? And Brother Gilly came up and said, that's seven languages, which the Bible came through. English is the last. It says purified seven times. And the English, that everybody wants to know English. And the English Bible is the perfect Bible. And seven purified seven times and went through seven languages. And Doc got up and said, Brother Gilly just showed me this. His brother Gilly went to church there. He was just a deacon and an older man. And he said, oh, look at that. He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And when people start saying God can't keep his word, they don't know what they're talking about. They're crazy. And Brother Gilly is just he was a layman in the church. All he did, he just said, yeah, seven languages. That's what that is. Purified seven times. Go back to Psalms 92. For thou, Lord, have made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And the more you study in this book, I got this science thing. I'm looking at the science about these stars and the galaxy. And they were saying, they said now they're hearing voice, they're hearing a single from another galaxy. It's words. And it goes every 16 minutes. There's words they're picking up. They're picking up these words from another galaxy, but they can't understand what it is. I told Linda, I said, it's the Lord said, get right. Get right, I'm coming. And they're picking it up every 16 minutes. It's coming through from another galaxy. They said the galaxy is so massive, so deep, that it's coming from another galaxy. Man, that's wild. They're saying, it's got to be another planet somewhere. Oh, and you know what they said? It's north. Where's God's throne at? Directly north. Or they're hearing angels singing. Can you say, Lord, so let's mess them up a little bit. Let them broadcast it every few seconds or every few minutes. Isn't that something? I like to see what they're doing in space. They said they're sending more. The Japanese are sending up some satellites, and they said they're. I read where there's 2,500 or 5,000 pieces of junk out there in space, floating around. They just said today. They said the two Russian satellites are trailing the American satellite. It's trailing them, trying to pick up what they're doing. And you know, when you find the Bible says the Lord's going to have to clean, you know. Burn heaven, it's going to make a new heaven and new earth. Why? Because of all that junk out there. He's going to have to take care of it. Man stepped on the moon. You know what the moon's the type of? He said, one step for man, one step for mankind, you know. You know what they did? They're stepping, the moon is the church. That's when they was talking about Egypt, or somebody mentioned something about the world. Rachel mentioned something about the world. I was just thinking about what that song, somebody wrote that song. It goes, Lord, thank you for taking me out of Egypt, but now take Egypt out of me. We got Egypt in us. We still desire the melons and the onions and all that stuff. And it says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Man hadn't even scratched the surface of God's, how deep the Father's love for us. Amen. That song popped in my mind. We haven't even scratched the surface of it. You think about it, man hadn't even got to the bottom of the sea. They can't even get to the bottom of the sea. And that man said, well, you know, we know what we're talking about. There is no God. Stupid. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Job tells us stuff. When you read in the book of Job, Job chapter 41, you read all that stuff. Man, how deep, you know, talks about the deep. The deep is up there. Talks about the deep. When he says the deep, he's talking about it's out there. They said the galaxy, man, there's no end to it. And I believe the galaxy is like a diamond. And Doc taught us that in Bible school. He taught us like a diamond. It's like a diamond shape. And you know, man, they can't disprove it. Says, O Lord, how great are thy works? And we could sit here tonight and talk about how great what God's done, the works of God. And I mean, how much the Father loved us, how much he allowed his Son to go through and come down and pay our sin debt. And man, and it says, thy thoughts are very deep. If you could just tap in to some of it, some of his thoughts towards, you know, he has thoughts towards us of love But towards the world, man, he's going to just, you know, he knows, he's already said what he's going to do to the world. He's going to burn the thing up. He's going to burn it up. Look on down here. It says, think about, just keep that, you're about the thoughts to, very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doeth a fool understand this. A man that's a fool, he don't understand the Lord's coming back. I mean, you need to be saved. I had a young man standing here Sunday from the Air Force. He's Church of Christ. His name's Willis or something like that. I think it was Will. And I tried to show him, and he said, and I said, would you agree with me? This is right. He said, yes, that's right. I said, would you agree with me? What would happen to you if you died and went out and got an accident? He's like, I guess I'd go to hell. I said, why don't you get saved? And you wonder, what in the world? Why? What would hold a person back from you? And once you know the truth, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doeth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. And when you start looking at things to, you know, look at that, you say, well, yeah, burn them up, you know, let them go to hell. I think about those little kids. I just read today, they found a boat that was out to sea. It was a little boat coming from Indonesia somewhere, forget where it was. And it capsized, and there was a bunch of people, and they all drowned, little babies and everything. And I think 6 or 7 people made it. They turned it. They were able to get the boat back over. And they said there were 30-some people on that boat or something like that, some crazy number. And the boat capsized in the weather. And you think about those little children. Oh, I know, if it depends on how old the child was and all that stuff. Yeah, I know where the child's going to. But you think about that, man. Think about people dying and going to eternity. It's just boom, 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 dropping off. You can't keep that on your mind all the time because it'll discourage you. It'll get you defeated. You start going, man, this is too mass, too much, too big. God cares more than you do. But if you're doing your little job where you're at, doing what you're supposed to do, the Lord's pleased with that. You're doing what you're supposed to do. I believe Faith Baptist Church, we can do more, but we're trying to do what we got. And the Lord's, the much is given, much is required. But what happens is people are dropping out, and you think, why are they dropping out? Man, they ought to be getting in and do more. But the devil's slick. He's, you know, deceitful. Tells people that, you know, it's not worth it, or there's other things on the agenda that we need to be doing or whatever with our life. It says, verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And you think about at Armageddon, when we was there at Armageddon, when I with Linda and I was looking at that place, man, I was thinking about 200 million men in here. He said, you believe that? Oh, yeah, I believe it. I was looking at that thing, I started tears running down my face, thinking about it. Those men going in there, they're going to fight against God. Wow. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I will be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Jack Hiles preached that message on fresh oil. And that's what we need, fresh oil. He says, but my horn shall thou exalt like a horn of a unicorn, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I thought about this. I thought about Saul was anointed with a vial, and David was anointed with the oil and the horn. And there was something there because he talked about the vials in Revelation, the judgment of God. And David was anointed with horns, with a horn, and the oil was in. He was anointed with that. I thought about something got to be in that. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And, you know, David had enemies on every hand, had enemies on every side. Solomon comes along. He didn't have no battles. Solomon had peace. He had a few little things, scrimmages going on, but David did all the fighting. And that's that first generation. And that second generation didn't have to, and all they was at ease. You got to be careful being at ease. They just kind of floated right on through and got into sin and brought judgment on them. And I thought about that. We're in that third, we're probably in that third or fourth or fifth generation after World War II. And that's why I said, about talking about Bernie Sanders, we're in that generation that didn't, the World War II, if those men were alive today that fought, the American men that fought in World War II, and if they saw Bernie Sanders standing on the platform, they would go up and drag him off the platform. And they would put that dude in jail or kill him. Really, they would. That World War II crowd, they would go. I mean, I've seen the guys come back from Vietnam. There was a man that used to come to church here, but he was a World War II veteran. His name was Mrs. Holmes' husband. Mr. Holmes, Mr. Holmes. But he had another name. Gail. He had a woman's first name, Gail. He would stop by my house. And the guy, he was comical. I mean, he had bought a farm out there in Hartley, in a big old farm he bought, and he showed it to me before he showed it to his wife. She didn't even know he bought it. And she said to me one time, she got mad at him, got mad at me. She said, "You sure you ain't his son?" And I thought that was a compliment. She didn't mean it as a compliment. But he would stop by my house. And he'd sit around the house and just talk, and I wish I would have wrote down the sayings this guy had. He was from Maine. He had all these sayings. And one time I was sitting around talking to him, I said, "What kind of tractors you got?" He said, "Well, I got John Deere and got this." And I said, "You got any Kubotas?" And he went, man, he about slapped me upside the head. His hand went up, and I said, "Kubota." He said, "Don't you say that word." I said, "What are you talking about, Kubota?" And he went, he was ready to slap me. I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "That's Japanese. Don't you mention anything about Japanese." I mean, this guy still had it in him. Japanese? I thought, a Kubota's a good tractor. About getting my teeth knocked out. And but he died right on Route 8. He bought an old tow truck. And I told him he bought all these cars and had them stuck everywhere and stashed in Maryland everywhere. So he bought this tow truck, come by my house, the tow truck. He said, "I want you to drive the tow truck and haul my cars." And I found out the dude had 60-some cars stashing everywhere. He had old Falcons and everything. He ended up selling them to the junkyard down here. His wife did after he died. She said, "You want them?" I said, "Nah, I got enough junk." But she wanted to give me the tow truck. I said, "No, I don't want the tow truck. I wish I would have took it now." But I said, "If I have a tow truck, everybody and their brother call me." But she said, the last words that he said, he was laying in the hospital. He had a heart attack laying on his dry shaft fell out of his old Dodge. He was a Dodge man. And he bought a Chevy tow truck, but his dry shaft fell out right on Route 8, almost to my house. And he didn't call me, but he was laying under the truck trying to get that dry shaft back in. Had a heart attack right there. Somebody came up and said, "Hey, you need help?" And he just didn't respond. They called the ambulance. And she said, the last words he said was, "Call the preacher to get my truck off the road." Never said he loved me or nothing. "Call the preacher, tell him to get my truck off the road." She was mad about that. I said, "Wasn't my fault." But I don't know how I got talking about that. Anyway. Oh, talking about that World War II crowd. And that World War II crowd would be upset right now. They would definitely. And there's only a few still alive. Because you know why? They fought Nazism, and and Patton, he just said, they thought Patton was crazy. He says, "Let's go ahead and fight the communists now. Let's go ahead and get it over with." Patton was a warmonger, and he wanted to take care of it. Verse 9, but I liked it. I like old Patton. He says, "For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me." And you know, the Lord says he'll take care of your enemies. He's a vengeance of mine, saith the Lord. You got somebody that's against you and wanting to hurt you. In the New Testament, you know, the Lord said, "I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the enemies. Don't you? You ain't got to worry about it. I'll take care of it." Old Testament, you know, go cut their head off. But in the New Testament, brother, the Lord says he'll take care of you. And you just handle it the right way. You handle your enemies, somebody that you don't even understand why they don't like you, why they go against you, and just pray about it. Why? Jesus Christ died for them. He says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. You know, what you think makes you think about that verse that says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doeth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He says, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, this is a verse I want you to see. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Plant. Just plant yourself in the house of God. And I realize, I know this, I know the New Testament, we're the house of God. Your body is. But we call this the house of God. A person that plants himself in it and says, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to be here. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. Amen. Flourish. Flourish. Man, it says fat and flourishing. I'm flourishing, but I'm not. What does it say? What's that other verse? The liberal soul shall be made fat. That was Uncle Billy's verse all the time. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. But anyway, we'll stop right there. Miss old Mr.